Joined now by Chris Allison, ESPN 730 out of Charlotte, North Carolina. How you doing, Chris?
Wade, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Is your bracket still intact? I know it's just been a couple of play-in games, but how's that bracket looking? You had K-State winning last night, right?
Yeah, Wade, I kind of skip these play-in games.
I usually do, too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I just pick it up on Thursday, right? You know, honestly, I did not have K-State winning last night. And I was a little surprised at how well they played offensively and / how poorly Wake Forest played defensively.
Yeah.
Danny Manning did a really good job with this group this year. And, you know, 9-9 in the conference. They were fun to watch, high-scoring team. And outside of the first 12 minutes of the game last night where it was pretty low-scoring, they picked it up. Both teams picked it up. And, you know, we saw a game more similar to what I expected to see. A game that Wake Forest would be flirting with 90, and I just didn't think K-State could get there with the offense that they've been playing. But, they were great, Kansas State was, in the paint all night long, easy shots all over the place. And that game's probably a blowout if K-State doesn't foul as much as they did in the first half.
No, I agree with you. Their next matchup, they got Cincinnati. What are your thoughts on them getting past Cincinnati?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen a ton of Cincinnati this season, but the one thing, you know, K-State's got some momentum going right now. You know, they've got some confidence, and they have come a long way to what we saw even, you know, look back 3 weeks ago. You know, they had a stretch where they won, what, 2 out of 9, something like that. You know, it looked like head coaching change was coming, and they flipped it around in a big way, and they're feeling good about themselves. The one thing they always do pretty well is defend, and so, yeah, I could see them getting past Cincinnati and into the round of 32 for sure.
Yeah, and certainly many people around here, there are some people that want Bruce Weber gone, but I don't think he's gone after winning last night and moving on to the round of 64. It'd be hard to fire a guy that won 21 games and got into the tournament technically in the round of 64.
Yeah, Wade, and, you know, it's quite honestly that, you know, I was kind of thinking, you know, especially if February was continuing, I was thinking that, you know, that this was going to be a good thing that, you know, I hated to see Frank Martin go when he did anyway. You know, I know there was disconnect between him and his players, and, you know, that led to him eventually moving on to South Carolina. But, yeah, it just didn't look like it was working out. I mean, Bruce Weber's been there, what, 4 years now?
Fifth year, I think.
Yeah. And they went to the tournament the first two, mm-hmm. but didn't win a game and did not go to the tournament the last two seasons.
Right.
And it sure looked like they weren't going again this year. So I was kind of on that bandwagon, too.
Well, it looks like he'll probably be safe, although we don't know that for sure with a new AD coming in. Who knows? He might have a guy that he has in mind, and he brings him to town. It doesn't matter what Bruce Weber does. But certainly the longer they go in this tournament, the less likely they're going to make a coaching change. Certainly no coaching changes happening with some of the teams you cover down in your area, and that's the reason I want to have you on the show today. Is we had Kevin Kugler on, the voice of the Final Four and the NCAA tournament, gave us kind of a national perspective, and he knows the Big Ten really well, and he knows the Big 12 a little bit. You know the Big 12 a little bit, of course, but you also should know the ACC pretty well down in your neck of the woods. And the ACC is considered the best conference in America this year. I couldn't argue with that. Duke, North Carolina, and South Carolina. Those are three teams I'm sure that you guys talk about a lot down that way. Let's start with North Carolina and Duke. Are these two teams on a collision course to make it to the Final Four? Some people have them in the national championship. Or do you think one of these teams is vulnerable when you look at their bracket?
Yeah. You know, it's I think it's absolutely a possibility that we see both of those teams in the Final Four. You know, it's interesting, Wade, because we thought that Duke, you know, you rewind to late January, and it looked like Duke might have trouble, you know, getting any kind of a decent seed with the way they were playing. Coach K was, you know, he was out for a while. Grayson Allen had his issues right around Christmas when he was suspended, and you know they've got. Giles was hurt to start the season, so he's never developed in anything depth-wise for them underneath like he was expected to. So it didn't look good. But to go into the ACC tournament and bang out four wins the way they did in 4 days, no one's ever done that at the ACC tournament. You know, they've never had a four-win and four-day champion. That changed. So, you know, Duke's biggest challenge you know, in their bracket in the East, they're up against Villanova, the number one seed, if they get to that Elite Eight game. And so that's certainly a stumbling block that you could see them. What I would say, you know, too, on Duke is, while they got hot and, you know, ran through that tournament, it wouldn't stun me to see them, you know, falter, say, at the Sweet 16 mark. That, you know, there's not a lot of depth there. They do rely, you know, I mean, they really need Grayson Allen to be consistent, and he's been inconsistent most of the season. So, you know, if he hits a dry spot, for instance, where, you know, he goes cold again, or there's another incident, a tripping incident, something like that, you know, which you wouldn't expect. But, you know, it wouldn't stun me to see, like, of the two teams, Duke, North Carolina, I think Duke would be the most vulnerable to trip earlier than we anticipate.
I don't like hearing that. Well, I'm not a Duke fan, but I have Grayson Allen in my player draft last night, and I don't have any Tar Heels, so now I'm a little bit concerned with my pick there. I'm not a Grayson Allen fan, but I'm going to be for him to score some points. You know how this fantasy thing works.
Well, and you know what? In your favor, he's been to the tournament. He's had success in the tournament.
Yeah.
He was on the national championship team and played.
He was a huge part of that.
In fact, it was that national championship the national championship game when he kind of burst off the map and put up. So, yeah, the possibility of you doing well in that particular fantasy draft that you had last night is certainly there.
Okay, good. You made me feel better. Way to redeem yourself, Chris. We're talking Chris Allison of ESPN 730 out of Charlotte, North Carolina, talking NCAA tournament. Okay, what you mentioned Frank Martin. He's done a nice job at South Carolina. I mean, he inherited a bad situation, and slowly but surely they've gotten better and better and better. Probably could have been in the tournament last year. They were snubbed. Now they're a 7 seed. They get Marquette coming up later this week on Thursday. Your thoughts on South Carolina? Of course, they could face Duke in the second round.
Yeah, you know, I think they are pretty fortunate, first of all. This tournament was supposed to be in Greensboro, North Carolina, but because of the House Bill 2 law that's in place, the NCAA pulled it and moved it to Greenville, South Carolina. So Frank Martin's team gets a seed that lands them in their home state. Yeah, so that's a positive for them. You know, I actually moved them past Marquette in my bracket and had them losing to Duke. I think that's a realistic expectation. The one thing they don't do very well there right now is score. You know, they're very, you know, it's kind of a Virginia-type team where they defend really well. Not quite as well as Virginia does, but they really struggle scoring the basketball. So even the Marquette game could be tricky for Frank and South Carolina, but he certainly got the program back on track, and that's good to see.
Of course, you covered the Shockers when you worked in Wichita for quite some time, and I know you still have connections there, and I am a Shocker fan. I've said some things on the show that maybe rubbed a few Shocker fans the wrong way in regards to, I said, you know, it's one thing to have the eye test, and for me, eye test, I think Wichita State's better than a 10 seed with the eye test, but that's not how the committee does it, and if you judge it based on how the committee does it, and you look at the body of work and forget what they did in previous tournaments, because that should have no impact on how you get into the tournament this year, unlike what Charles Barkley says, which he doesn't know much about college basketball, in my opinion. But I'm sitting here going, listen, the body of work. They didn't beat anybody. Illinois State, they beat twice. Illinois State's not in the tournament. They're 30-4. It's not their fault that the league stinks. It just does. And so to me, they got a seed where they should have been. I was thinking 8, 9, 10. Some people thought maybe a 7. But I think some people got a little bit over agitated about this from the standpoint that if you put a 7 next to Wichita State's name instead of a 10, and you put a 10 next to Dayton instead of a 7 when the bracket comes out the other night, are people really upset? Because it's the same opportunity, the same matchups for Wichita State.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's funny because going into Selection Sunday, Jay Billis had them as a 5. You know, he said, watch that team play. And there are some things, you know, if you look at BPI, RPI, you know, there's some of those, you know, different rankings that are out there. You know, they do have Wichita State as a top 20 team. And so I kind of figured more around a 7, an 8, something like that. I was surprised to see them at 10. I do understand the challenge that faces them and Illinois State, and that is, you know, even more Wichita State than Illinois State, but you've got your program to a point right now where you're so, you know, pretty much year in and year out, you're dominant.
Yeah.
And you can't get quality programs to play you, especially with a home and home, or even with a home and neutral. You can't do it. So the ability to get quality wins for Illinois State, for instance, aren't there. We saw their head coach go out on Twitter and beg for a game.
Yes.
And actually got one with Ole Miss. But, you know, is that going to be a quality win when it happens? You know, who knows? I doubt it, you know. But so anyway, I will say this, though. Right when I saw that happen, and I see Wichita State at a 10, and they're up against a good Dayton team, by the way.
Yeah.
In fact, Dayton's head coach, Archie Miller, is a pretty hot candidate. Both of these coaches are pretty hot candidates for the NC State job. I think NC State would love to have either one of them. But when I saw this happen, and I saw Kentucky being the second-round game for Greg, you know, I just pictured Greg Marshall salivating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's, you know, so this feeds perfectly into his mantra, man.
Exactly.
He loves to be overlooked. He loves to be, what, you know, disrespected. Mm-hmm. He loves the opportunity to take on a blue blood program that, when they went undefeated in the regular season, Kentucky got slotted as an 8 seed. And, you know, so they had to play Kentucky in the second round, which mm-hmm. was, you know, crazy that year. I didn't see that necessarily as fair to Wichita State.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, that was a hell of a game. You know, it was a good basketball game, but Wichita State fell just short. I think this is perfect. This is perfect for Greg Marshall's mentality. He's playing this up with his program like you wouldn't believe. And I expect them to get to that Kentucky game and give Kentucky a heck of a run. I think that little series right there, that little, you know, Dayton, Wichita State, and Kentucky, that whole thing right there, that's going to be fun to watch here in this first weekend.
I agree with you 110%. I've been saying the same thing. I think it might be a good thing they get a 10. They're in that pod. Great opportunity against Kentucky. You win that, then you might play UCLA. You want to really dream.
Yeah.
Then North Carolina. You talk about a run to the Final Four and one some people consider the toughest region. But, man, whether they're a 7, 8, 9, or 10, they'd play a 1 or a 2, and now get redemption against Kentucky possibly. And then let's go to this before I let you go here, because I know you're short on time. Greg Marshall, you mentioned NC State. Do you think Greg Marshall is perfectly happy at Wichita State and that he'll be there for the long term? Or do you think Greg Marshall at some point is going to say, listen, I don't want to be in a mid-major where I have to win my tournament to get in the NCAA dance, and I want to be in a Power 5 conference to put my wits mm-hmm. and my recruiting and my knowledge against some of the best in the business?
Mm-hmm. You know, Wade, if Wichita State moves to the AAC, and I know there's talk of that happening,
mm-hmm.
I think that would give them a much better chance to keep Greg long-term, you know, to make him a Mark Few type, because now you're getting into a conference that is a multiple bid conference every single year. And that's the Valley right now they lost Creighton. They've walked backwards, right? I mean,
yes.
It's just not that strong of a conference. And it looks like it could be a one-bid league pretty consistently. So the one thing, and I haven't talked to Greg in years, you know, it's been 3 years probably since I've talked to him, so I don't know where he's at with this, but he gets paid $3.5 million a year. That's going to continue to escalate. You know, he's a big fish in a small pond. I think he loves that.
Mm-hmm.
He can do anything at that program that he can do anywhere else. And so I lean more towards him being there, you know, maybe not forever, but certainly, you know, maybe for the next 5 years, 10 years. I mean, I absolutely see that happen.
Indiana might pop up. NC State's available. He's from that neck of the woods. And Missouri sounds like they really want Greg Marshall. Of those three, if he chose one, which I don't think he will, but if he chose
right.
one, I think he'd choose NC State. But Indiana would be appealing too.
Yeah, I think, you know, because I keep looking at the programs with great tradition, programs that have won national championships.
Mm-hmm.
And NC State's won a couple national championships, the last one being with Valvano in 83. But you know, I Indiana kind of came to mind for me just because of the great tradition that they had there with Bobby Knight.
Yep.
You know, reportedly, Greg's turned down North Carolina State in 2011. He's turned down Missouri. He's turned down Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
He's turned down South Carolina. You know, and there's others out there, I'm sure, that he's turned down. But those are the ones that have been reported that he's been offered contracts and said no
mm-hmm.
already. You know, North Carolina State was paying Mark Gottfried. They owe him $2.1 million for the next 2 years. So they've never opened their wallet up like it would take to get Greg Marshall here, you know, out there to Raleigh. So I just don't think that's going to happen either. I think it's going to take a blue blood job and a $3.5 to $4 million a year offer to get him out of Wichita.
The reason I think Indiana would be an interesting fit is he'd be big man on campus. We know Bobby Knight was. Indiana, it's all about basketball. The football program's not that good. I think it might be one that people aren't talking much about. It'd be interesting. I'd definitely be a blue blood. There's no question about it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what it's going to take.
I agree with you. Okay, and then what about North Carolina? What if Roy Williams, what's the situation with Roy? Health-wise, he's had a few issues. How long do you think Roy's going to coach? And maybe Greg Marshall would be North Carolina in 5 years? I mean, that's, I don't know. Is that possible?
Possible. Sure, it's possible. Yeah. You know, I think there would be, you know, despite North Carolina's always stayed in the family. He's not in the family.
True.
But if they would ever look outside of it, sure. You know, I do think Roy, he had a really tough year last year, you know, with health and losing his best friend. And, you know, I still think he's probably, you know, another 4 or 5 years. And I think Coach Krzyzewski's in the same boat. Coach K's older than Roy by a few years. But that does make that NC State job a little more attractive when you start looking at, hey, 10 years from now, if I could get there and get the program going, and, you know, you look at the next, say, 5 years from now, North Carolina and Duke are going to be turning over Hall of Fame head coaches.
Yeah.
This thing might flip around a little bit where it's a little easier to recruit and a little easier to win.
That's an excellent point. All right, finally, our off-the-wall question, Chris. Talking Chris Allison, ESPN 730 out of Charlotte. Off-the-wall question. It is tournament time, and I'm sure you've heard lots of crazy things fans have said in the stands. What is something that they say that annoys you when it comes to fans' lack of knowledge of the rules?
Lack of knowledge of the rules.
For me, it's always, even up the fouls! Dude, one team's playing a zone, one's playing a full-court press. Like, there's a rule, it has to be even, right?
Yeah, right. No, I hear you. He walked. I mean, just if you're at a game, you hear that 50 times, right? He walked!
Mm-hmm.
He walked!
Mm-hmm.
You know? Well, he probably did. But, you know, something that's not called all that much. I'll tell you one of my favorite technical fouls real quick, and then I'll let you guys run. But so I'm at a, remember, I don't know if you remember the old Marymount Spartan games, but that was an NAIA powerhouse in Salina when I was a kid.
Okay.
And we're at the Bicentennial Center, and the head coach then was Ken Cochran, who's a legend there in Salina, and he invented the Papa Shot. Like, he literally invented the original Papa Shot.
Yeah,
it's a great story. But anyway, he's the head coach at Marymount, and I'm a little kid. I'm at the game. Coach Cochran's on his hands and knees looking underneath the bench while the game is going on. So he's, like, looking on the ground underneath the bench, and the officials stop the game, and they come over, and they say, Coach, you lose a contact. You know, what's going on? And he stands up and says, no, I'm just looking for the officials. There don't seem to be any here on the floor.
Wow. That's an automatic T, I would think.
That was an automatic T.
I thought you were going to say he was looking for the glasses that the officials dropped or something.
He was looking for the officials.
For the actual officials around the bench. That's funny. Officials. That's good. That's good. I like it. Hey, man, we always appreciate the time. I hope your bracket does well. Who do you have in the Final Four, real quick? Who you got in the Final Four?
Yeah, you too. Wait, actually, so I filled out the top of the bracket because we previewed those yesterday. I've got KU and Duke.
Okay.
The bottom of the bracket, as soon as we hang up, I'm going to sit down and get it taken care of because we're previewing those two regions here on our show this afternoon. So haven't completely filled it out yet, but by the end of the day, I'll have it.
One region at a time. All right, Chris, we appreciate the time. Right. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you, Wade. Appreciate
Take care.
It, man.
That's Chris Allison, ESPN 730 out of Charlotte. And we appreciate his time on the Sports Ticket.